Good morning, church family. I was thinking as I was driving in this morning, it was kind of, frankly, it had rained. It was kind of cloudy. It was kind of dreary. And I thought, man, most people would look at this day and they would say, my goodness, isn't this just a sad, dreary day? But I thought, nope, I'm going to the house of the Lord. Any day I get to go and to be in the house of the Lord with God's people is a glorious, beautiful day. Amen. Let's go before His throne in prayer. Oh, our great God and our King, we praise You for just being our God. We praise You that, Lord Jesus, You loved us enough to go to the cross and pay that debt that we could never have hoped to pay. We praise You that because we know You as Lord and as Savior, we have all the promises of Scripture. And we praise You that You didn't just save us and leave us, for no, You desire to walk with us, to have a close personal walk every day of our lives. As we've gathered this morning, we've gathered with that purpose in mind, that purpose to worship. And Father, the songs of worship that we've sung together have been very sweet. And we praise You for this opportunity to have gathered together and studied Your Word in Sunday school. And Lord, that'd be enough, but You still have more for us. You've got a message. Father, You better than anybody else understand the imperfections that are in this vessel. And Father, I just ask that You'd overcome all my shortcomings. And Lord, as always, let Your message pour out on Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, what a wonderful time I had last night getting to hang out with you folks and enjoy a wonderful trunk or treat. And if you haven't figured out already, this coming Tuesday is Halloween. And between now and then, churches, community groups all over the area are going to be doing trunk or treats and doing different things just like we did last night. And then there'll be some kids that'll go out doing trick or treating and do different things on Tuesday night. One of the most amazing things about this time of year when it comes to the little kids, they will pick out their best costume and then they'll find the biggest bucket, bin, or pillowcase that they can carry in hopes that when they get done, that thing is filled to the brim and running over with candy. But did you know the origins of Halloween actually go back before the birth of Christ? The British Isles, a group known as the Celts, they had a festival, a fall festival, but it was not a festival that was for children, where the goal was gathering something sweet and yummy. They understood that at this time of year, the brilliant, powerful light of the sun is starting to dim just a little bit. They were getting ready to go into a time when darkness reigned, a time when darkness would prevail. For the Celts, that impending darkness was really a scary time, for in their minds, and the way that they believed that there was a veil that separated the land of the living from the land of the dead, and on roughly the October 31st, we would call it now, that they needed to protect themselves from an evil trick. So they would put out some food. And they would put out that food as a treat, hoping that that treat would prevent an evil trick from happening. Thus, Halloween was created. It was created for the purpose of helping people deal with a simple fear of the dark. Halloween began because people were afraid. That people were afraid of the darkness. People generally, let's be real, people generally don't like the dark. We tend to like light. And darkness for many people at this time of year, hey, let's be real, can be a little bit disturbing. I'm one of those people that don't really like winter. I like the sun. I like the green trees. I like the flowers, although that little golden stuff that tends to come from those flowers doesn't like my sinuses a whole lot. I like the bright sunshine. But you know, God knew, because God created us, God knew that darkness, this time when the sun sets a little quicker and darkness seems to come on a little sooner, God knew that was going to be a tough time for us as people, as humans. So God made us a promise. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7, Isaiah tells us the reason that Jesus came. And he tells us that Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison. And listen, here it comes. To release from the dungeon those that sit in darkness. Matthew, later quoting Isaiah in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, he said this, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death," here it comes, church, "light has dawned." Jesus declared to the world on the Mount of Olives in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said this, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Light is a very powerful, amazing gift from God. Did you know on a dark night, if you had the ability to have that distance, you could see a flickering candle from up to 30 miles away? Let that sink in just a little bit. A flickering candle. Whenever even the smallest, seemingly insignificant light is interjected into darkness, listen, church, darkness always loses. Light always trumps darkness. It always has, and it always will. So if you're, I got some great news for you if you've not heard this before, okay? Listen to me. If you believe that this world is becoming an increasingly dark and difficult place, I got some sweet news for you. Light always trumps darkness. Listen to this. Jesus tells us that we are the light, and light always wins. I want you to notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Notice this verse. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light," here it is, church, "in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We are indeed to walk or live our lives as children of light. But what does that look like? What does it really look like to walk in the light? Well, in our focal passage this morning, we're going to hear Jesus tell us. So take your copy of God's Word and meet me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 14. All that can, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's inerrant and infallible Word. Notice verse 14 here with me, church. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Oh my goodness, notice verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Church, you may be seated, and may God add His blessings to the reading of His Word. This particular passage is part of the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus is preaching to His disciples. Now, it's important we understand really who Jesus is preaching to here this morning. The Greeks were known for their incredible knowledge. The Greeks were known for their amazing art, and the Greeks were also known for their philosophy. They were known for people like Aristotle and Socrates and Plato. The Roman world, the Romans, they were also extremely knowledgeable. The Romans were known for their advancement in science and their advancements in our architecture and their advancements in mathematics. But to use a little Stokes County English, if I may, the people that Jesus was preaching to, they weren't them. The people that Jesus was preaching to were just common, ordinary, down-to-earth, salt-of-the-earth kind of people. And I can imagine that maybe they're all sitting there on the mountain, and they're all sitting there together, and y'all know what happens when you get a bunch of men together, right? We swap stories. That's what we do. Women, if you've ever wondered what happened when you get a bunch of men together, that's it. Fellas, y'all don't have to amen me. You can just sit there and just be real, just still. But some of y'all are shaking your head like, "Yeah, preacher, you're right. That's exactly what we do." And I can imagine a bunch of men were kind of sitting there together, and they started telling stories, and the wives started sitting there and said, "Oh, there he goes, telling that same story over again." Before you know it, everybody's laughing, everybody's talking, and then lo and behold, Jesus begins to preach. And first, he lays the Beatitudes on them. And I'm sure they were sitting there just with their eyes wide open. And then he tells them that they are salt. And if their mouths weren't totally wide open when he said that they're salt, when Jesus said this to them, I can guarantee you that they were. Notice this next verse here. Verse 14. "You are the light of the world." What?
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden.
Here Jesus announces to this most common, unassuming group of people that they are the light of the world. Wow.
If you don't hear anything else I say today, please make sure you hear this, church. Jesus is saying to His followers then, in the Sermon on the Mount, that they are the light of the world. That same message carries just as much weight, just as much power, and is just as directed at us today as it was to His disciples back then. We are the light of the world. We are most definitely not only included, we have that responsibility put on us as His modern day disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me just kind of want to lift up my head, stand just a little bit stronger, stand just a little bit straighter, and say, okay, God, I want to fully realize what a grand and glorious thing it is to be a child of yours. I want to stand just a little stronger and work just a little harder to be everything that you would have me be. 1 John 1:5 tells us this. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. Listen, church, at all. There's no darkness at all. Intellectually, that means that the knowledge of God is light. Morally, that means that the holiness of God is light. Physically, that means that the glory of God is light. So when Jesus says, you're the light of the world, it means God has deposited His very nature into these most unworthy vessels. And here it comes. We are to let that light shine forth. Think about that. The very God of the universe wants to use you to be a vessel that He shines forth through. You know, one of the great principles of light is that it makes a difference in its surroundings. We're in an age that is just overwhelmed, I think is a good choice of words. Just overwhelmed with information. If you want to know what your best friend had for supper last night, chances are you can log on to Facebook or Instagram and there might even be a picture of their meal. Y'all know what I'm talking about because y'all do it too. If you want to know what the circumference of Mars is, all you got to do is log on to the web. Lo and behold, it is there. But listen, we're at a point, we're at a period in life when knowledge and wisdom is so easily attained, yet we live in a period when some of the major questions in life for people still left unanswered. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Where did I come from? Church, questions like that, they come from darkness. They come from darkness, and people are sucked into that, almost like getting sucked into a black hole. They have no direction. They have no idea where their life is headed. They're left having no hope with anything that resembles a good future. Here it comes, unless there is light that comes into their life. Unless there is light that shows them the way. Jesus tells us that we are His lights. We are part of that beautiful divine instrument that is the church. And part of our responsibility as the church is to help others find their way to peace, find their way to hope, find their way to a future that can only be found in Jesus. We serve as God's lights that He put here to guide others out of their darkness and to point them to Him. Now it's important that we understand that this light doesn't come from within ourselves either. We don't have light inside us any more than a light bulb that's not screwed into one of these fixtures here has light within it. If we're not connected to our power source, we're just as dim. Our power, our ability to shine in this dark, ugly world is given to us because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that is within us. Listen, everywhere you go as God's child, understand this. You take God's power with you. You take His light with you. And church is supposed to shine forth. Think about it. As you walk into the office, as you walk into the gym, as you walk into school, as you walk into the grocery store, wherever you happen to be, you carry with you God's power. You carry with you God's power to spiritually light up the world around you. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome responsibility. And may God forgive us for any time when we've looked at a day and said, well, today is just going to be like any other day. May God forgive us for such arrogance. We have been given the privilege. No, church, we've been given the duty. We've been given the privilege and the duty to let Jesus shine through us in order that others might see their way to salvation. And we approach every morning by saying, oh God, show me somebody today that needs to be saved. Somebody that's lost. Or, oh God, show me somebody today in my life that needs direction. And then give me the willingness to let your light shine forth. To let your light shine from within me. They'll see their way to you. You can't be afraid, church. Too often we're afraid. If I'm stepping on toes, I'm not apologizing. Too often we say, well, that kind of spiritual stuff, it just makes me uncomfortable. Guess what? It's spiritual warfare. It'll always be uncomfortable. That person that belongs to Satan, God wants them. God has just chosen you to be that spiritual vessel that He wants to work through. And whenever you say, here am I, God, send me. Whenever you let God use you, the power is His. The words are His. The actions are His. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord, shine through me. But it's going to be uncomfortable. Spiritual warfare always is. We have to lean on Jesus. And just let Him handle it, church. We must not be afraid. Look at verse 14 one more time. My time's quickly getting away from me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I mentioned to you a few minutes ago, just kind of reminding you of who Jesus is speaking to here, and it's absolutely imperative we understand this. As His modern day disciples, not only does this apply to us, but we got to get this right. Church, it's important we understand who Jesus didn't say was the light of the world as well. He didn't say the government was the light of the world. In other words, people's hope is not in the government. He also didn't say that the religious leaders are the light of the world. He didn't even say the angels were the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. We all have that responsibility of letting His light shine. In other words, each one of us that God has called, that God has set apart for a work, we all have that responsibility. Did you know that you can reach into a person's life that I can't? You are more qualified than Billy Graham or Moses or any one of the apostles to reach those people that are in your life that are lost. You realize that? Because God has equipped you for the work that He has for you, if you will but trust Him. We all have that responsibility of letting His light shine. God's command is for every one of us here on earth. Each day, we go out to wherever it is we go, and we carry His light with us, His power into this world. My question to you is this. Do you take that responsibility seriously? In verse 15. Verse 15 tells us this. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Church, no matter what our circumstance is, Jesus promised us that He put His light in us. We need to be light at all times. One of the important principles of light that I want to leave you with this morning is that light lights things, not to draw attention, the object the light's coming from, but to illuminate things that are around us. If you noticed this morning, I've been walking just a little bit funny. And it's because I got up, I fell asleep on the couch, and I got up, you heard my wife chuckle just a little bit. I got up and decided, I'm almost 50 years old. I've lived in this house for many years. I know my way around. I don't need to turn the lights on. So lo and behold, Jeffrey gets a little off balance because he trips over something. And guess what happens? His left shin goes crashing into the coffee table. I don't know how much that bugger weighs, but it's heavy. So I moved it about 6 inches, and now I got a knot on my left shin. Do you know what God taught me through that? One of the wonderful principles of light is if we just let it shine forth, guess what it does? It illuminates, church. We see things that we might fall over. We see the difficulties and troubles and trials. We see things for the way that they are. That's one of the wonderful, beautiful principles of light. Listen, when we flip those lights on, one of the glorious things about light is darkness is always driven away. People many times are not even aware of the darkness that is in their lives unless light is shown into those lives. What Jesus is essentially saying here is, why would you try to hide it? Why? Why would you try to hide the light? Seems to be a very basic question, does it not? But church, don't we do that right often? And how many times do we choose to be quiet when there's somebody around us that's struggling? How many times do we choose to turn the other way rather than explain the truths of Jesus to somebody? How many times do we choose to go along with a crowd rather than say no? That's not what God's Word says. I hope it's okay I tell this. I've never been more proud of my daughter than the decision she made just a couple of days ago. You know, when you're 11, a lot of the TV shows that you watch are important to you. Hey, let's be real. Some of them are to us adults too, right? One of Sarah's favorite shows took a very worldly turn and began to educate and teach the acceptance of homosexuality, that God's Word clearly says is sin. And I listened, I was sitting there watching TV with my daughter, and Sarah began to listen to this, and she's like, no, no. I heard her say that, she stopped. And that's her favorite show in the world. And it was hard. There were tears. She said, Daddy, it's wrong. God knows it's wrong. God tells us it's wrong in the Bible. I can't continue to watch this. Church, if 11-year-olds can do it, why can't we as adults? Why can't we as adults say, you know what? God's Word says this sin, and I'm not trying to single out any one of them. We know what sin looks like. I'm simply saying, why is we as adults not do the exact same thing and say, you know what? That's sin. God's Word says it's sin. We let His Word stand. That's not us being ugly. That's not us being out of line. We're simply stating and being able to show in love what God's Word says and let it stand. Why do we want to try to hide that light? Why do we do it? How is a person going to see their way out of their lostness unless the light shines? How are they going to see that the path they're on leads to death, hell, and destruction unless a light shines and says, whoa, look, this is where you're headed? Church, we all have that duty to shine. Look in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As children of the light, we got to let His light shine through us into that darkness that is around us. It's not okay to say, I'm just going to let somebody else take care of that one. That one looks a little too hard. That situation, that's a little bit messy. I just want an easier one, Lord. No. We don't get to make that choice. We are to reflect His light, to be His lights in the here and in the now. In just a few minutes, we're going to walk out these doors. And church, when we walk out to these doors, we're walking out into a rich mission field where the vast majority of the people that we will encounter do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. We're walking out into a very dark world. Light always wins. Our light comes from the Lord, who indwells us in His Spirit. We all have a duty to shine, to let His shine, His light shine from within us. And here's the truth I want to leave you with. Every day, this beautiful golden sun, this star, shines on this very dark world. And there's a spiritual darkness in this world, church, that even the light of a star cannot penetrate, but the light of God's Son can. And we, the church, have been given the responsibility. We were created for the purpose of letting that light shine through us. So my parting message to you this morning, Cornerstone, is this. You carry His light. Seek out those opportunities as a church and as individuals to let His light shine through you into the darkness that surrounds us. Don't even wait until tomorrow. Look for opportunities this afternoon. Look for opportunities tomorrow as well as you go to work or school. You know, we began this journey about 5 months ago together. And what an amazing journey it has been. One of the great blessings of my life has been to walk with you people and to see God perform a miracle in you. You have been given an opportunity. You have been given a responsibility to share the love of Jesus with this community. Protect the unity that God has brought. And understand this. You are one body. Hear me. One body. None greater than the other. From the first person who signed their name on the charter of this church to the last person that has joined. You are one body in one accord. Or as a church, you are broken. Protect that unity by going before the Lord and making certain that you're all together. We started out our journey by just remembering to always put God first, to put Him above all. And I would encourage you to go back to that. Love Him first. And let this community see you loving Him first and then loving each other as being the hallmark of who you are as a church. You have a most amazing fellowship and a most amazing love that it has been a great honor and a privilege to take part in and to have poured out on our family. I will always cherish our time together. And I pray that as Jesus looks down on this property, He sees not just Cornerstone proper, but He sees this community lit up. Not with the lights from Duke Power, but He sees this whole community lit up because God's church is walking in the light. May God bless you.